You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Harrison, we might have good news. Maybe, kind of, sort of. How does that make you feel?
Well, I don't know what the good news is yet.
Well, okay. Well, the good news is that the Lakers might be getting two pivotal pieces of their rotation back this week. How's that? Like, Brandon Ingram might be coming back.
That's really good news for how watchable the team is.
And how listenable the show becomes.
Yes, that's true. Please come back, all of you that left.
Please. Ingram, I need you.
I won't let Anthony tweet about Kobe anymore, I promise.
As always, well, that's basically what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart's potential return, this front office or lack thereof, where the heck they have been. We're going to talk about guys that we kind of sort of miss on the backs of a really stupid column written by a really salty dude in Utah. Like, Utah is having a really fun year, and he thought to himself, I'm going to write to Gordon Hayward right now.
This'll show that millionaire power of the press.
So that's what we're going to make fun of on the back half of the show. As always, make sure you guys follow the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter, at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter, at... Let's go ahead and get into...
Are you serious right now? I'm not leaving that in.
You should bleep it out, and we'll get people asking, like, what your ad is.
I'm going to bleep it out. Jesus, man.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into the first topic as soon as I collect myself here. But Brandon Ingram might be coming back, according to a few reporters, starting with Brez. Brez was the first I saw it.
Well, they all got a group text.
They all
Anthony.
Got a group text. That Ingram played 3-on-3 today. He's listed as questionable for tomorrow, or by the time everybody is listening to this, today, against Dallas. It would be great to get him back. Just for like, honestly, the Lakers just need like 15 or 20 minutes of the guy, just so that Kuzma doesn't play 38 minutes and KCP doesn't have to play as crazy minutes as he's been playing.
With Hart and Ingram down, they really just do not have any wing depth. It's just gone.
Right, and with Thomas gone too, that means that KCP has to play more for both Thomas and for Ingram. It's just their rotation lately has been in tatters, and they need to get these guys back from the standpoint of, they just need bodies. They need warm bodies. And let's go ahead and get into the front office stuff. We kind of touched on it a little bit in last show. They never did wind up adding anybody. And the conclusion that we might have drawn if they did add somebody is that, well, does this mean Brandon Ingram might not be coming back? The other side of that coin is that by them not adding somebody, they think that Ingram might be coming back. Or it might just be that Magic and Rob Pelinka are just gone. Like, Magic might still be in Hawaii.
Well, so yeah, you stole my joke, but mm-hmm. I have a conspiracy theory on this.
Okay.
Do we know that Magic Johnson ever made it out of that nuclear bunker in Hawaii where he was photographed so nicely by somebody when they were like in lockdown and fearing for their lives? This guy's like, I'm going to get some engagement, and just like threw out a picture of Magic Johnson on Twitter in a nuclear bunker. And so, yeah, remember that? That seems like that forever ago, but I think it was only like a month. 2 months?
No, it has to be longer than a couple months ago.
I don't know. My sense of time is gone. But yeah, I mean, we don't know. You can't prove to me that Magic Johnson ever made it back. He might still be in that bunker. There's probably a lot of food, thankfully.
It's at least a place to start, right, in trying to figure out where these guys have been. The other thing, too, here with the front office is like...
I also don't think that, like, yes, Magic Johnson, I've maintained this for the whole time that he's been hired, and you and I have argued about it, but, like, yes, his name is on the masthead of the front office. He's the one that is making these kind of final basketball calls, but I don't think that scouring the G League is what Magic is doing. Like, I don't think that that's his role for this front office. I think that's Rob, and I think that's the scouts.
Well, they need
that
to
are
be
trying to determine who they're going to sign to these 10 days.
Somebody should be doing it, right? Like,
I would assume someone is doing it.
The evidence would point to the contrary, that nobody is doing it, right? That because the guys that they have signed have been defenders, right?
South Bay Lakers,
or
get it right.
Sorry, South Bay Lakers. Or former Polinka clients. So, like, where's the scouring? I've kind of soured on the scouring ability.
You've soured on the scour? Isn't that, I mean, they just aren't scouring where you'd like them to scour. We're using this word too much. But they, I mean, it is weird that most of the guys that they've signed have been former Polinka clients. Or no, but who was the guy that they signed that went back and forth with the Raptors?
Tyrone,
he wasn't a Polinka
Wallace
client.
Tyrone Wallace is the Clipper guy.
Yeah.
I forget what the Ty something. Is it? No, it wasn't Ty. I forget the guy.
Yeah.
It started with a T. But
he didn't make a difference.
No. Well, I think right when
Nigel
getting,
Hayes. It yeah. didn't start with a T.
Wow.
I didn't even look that up. It just came to my mind.
When, they signed him, and then he had that weird story come out about him, right? And then they decided.
No. That was somebody different. That was a different guy that had previously been on the Clippers.
Oh, well then, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, no. Nigel Hayes just didn't make an impact, was let go, and he wasn't a Polinka client or a South Bay Laker, so your theory is disproven. Once again, I'm the people's champ.
I don't think it's completely disproven.
Stop hating.
There's one guy, over the course of a season that they, and for the vast majority of the season, they've either had a roster spot devoted to Tyler Ennis or to nobody at all. South Bay Laker.
Oh, well, but they signed him to a two-way contract. So, but he wasn't a Polinka client. So
his dad's a former Laker.
Oh my God. So now you're adding things to the theory.
My theory is still going. We're going to, when we come back, there is a couple legitimate reasons as to why I think it's important, why we think it's important that Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart play again this year. And we're going to get to those here in a second.
So Anthony, explain why this isn't blatant confirmation bias.
What?
On your part. You're just like, every time they sign somebody that you think proves that they're showing nepotism, you're just like, okay, see, look, it's nepotism. And then when I point to someone, I'm like, it's probably not nepotism. You're like, well, but see, that doesn't count.
You've only made one case where it didn't count, like where there was
I highly doubt that because Gary Payton was a Laker for 1 year that the Lakers were like, yeah, you know what? We should sign his son.
I don't think it was because of that. I just think it was like – I think didn't they have Gary Payton II on their Vegas summer league roster team, or they saw him on Vegas or something like that. I don't. But I do think that, like, his name, having Gary Payton's name being one of like 33 different Gary Paytons out there, would kind of benefit him a little bit in that respect. I don't think that's a crazy take to throw out there.
I do not think that that's why the Lakers signed him to a 10-day deal.
I don't think it's why, but I don't think it hurt.
Well, but then those are two different things. And then that's no longer the nepotism point or the laziness point that you're trying to prove. Mm. And, like, to your point, like, I don't even think that he hasn't been – he's had his moments, but he hasn't been a particularly impactful player in the G League. Like, he's had some big statistical games. When you're looking at his advanced metrics, he hasn't, been a world beater by any means. Like, I've seen Ben Rosales and Grandis McBasketball talking about, like, there are guys in the G League that would have been probably better 10-day contract signings, but I don't think that they signed him because of nepotism or out of laziness or whatever. Like, I think that they just probably have a disagreement about who the best guy to sign was.
Maybe. Well, I would hope that any disagreement that they have, that Magic doesn't get the final say if he isn't the one scouring the G League to find these guys.
Well, he probably is getting the final say, but it's after hearing arguments from these guys.
Yeah, we'll see. I do want to, like I say, I tease that we are going to get to why it's important. There's a couple reasons here. One, first and foremost, it's important that these guys get back and they play before the end of the year so that the Lakers end on a high note and head into the summer with a little bit of momentum so that they can go to the table when it's with – Paul George or LeBron or whoever. I mean, even if it's like a solid veteran kind of guy, right, that they need to convince to come to the Lakers, not just to come to the Lakers, period, but to come to the Lakers at a reasonable rate, right? And, you know, the last few years, the guys that they've had to get, they've had to overpay to get them because they were not a great situation. And so with you know, with 9 games left this season and with, I would say, a fourth of the rotation gone, that kind of hurts that momentum. And so getting a Brandon Ingram back, getting a Josh Hart back, and finishing on a high note, and they have some games here that they can go to the table and say, look, we beat Utah when they were playing some of their better basketball of the year. We beat San Antonio as they were getting ready for the playoffs. We knocked the Clippers out of the playoffs, right? Those kinds of things, they're small, and they won't be, you know, part A of their sales pitch to any of these guys. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, having 36, 37 wins compared to having 33-ish wins, that does mean something. It's hard to say how much. It does mean something.
There's a perception difference there when you're talking about those things. And, you know, 33 wins doesn't sound like a whole lot. 37, it's like, hey, we were almost 500. And then we'll add you and we'll be above that.
Yeah. And look, they are – they're, I would say, Alonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and a – well, all right. They're Alonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram injury, or starting Randall from the get-go, or never signing Tyler Ennis to be their primary backup point guard.
Okay, I don't think that the third one is on the same level as the other ones.
I don't know. I hate Tyler Ennis. But the basketball player. The basketball player. I don't know the guy. He seems like a cool dude.
Seems like a very nice guy.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy, but his the way he plays basketball offends me personally. But
I don't think that any of those things kept the Lakers from the playoffs. I think that
it's
like
a combination
maybe they would have.
Things.
I think they would have been closer, but I still don't think they would have made it.
Yeah, I'm saying playoff contention, not the actual playoffs.
Okay.
But playoff
contention. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always been my point.
They would have been a lot closer if they hadn't made those moves. But Lonzo, you know, the Lakers weren't like, you know what, we're just going to injure Lonzo now.
Yeah. Well, they did keep him out longer than I think they anticipated.
Which I think is the smart long-term play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Why rush him back in a season where the upside is playoff contention but not spot?
The other reason where and this is more of from a fan's perspective, and to those of you listening right now that are shocked that I am a fan of the Lakers, whoever that one guy was that told me I do this for the money. It's funny. The second reason here why I would like to see Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart back and see this Laker team finish on a high note is that it's been a long season, but it's been a really fun season. Like, this has been the most fun I've had covering this team since I started covering him. And
it's kind of progressed upwards each year since I started. The first year was the D'Antoni, Jody Meeks, Nick Young year. And then there was, like, Russell, Kobe farewell tour. And then there was Russell and Ingram, and then there was, you know, this.
Who was their coach for the Russell farewell tour?
Russell farewell tour. The Russell farewell tour was Luke Walton.
Russell farewell tour was as soon
the
as fair,
the farewell tour nobody knew was a farewell tour.
I wish I would have gotten like a note, like it just tell me in advance so that I'm not shocked when they just send him to Brooklyn on the other
You're
side.
You're just
of the
mad
country.
Because you bought his jersey in 4 different colorways and now those are worth nothing.
Nobody will buy them now. But I really enjoyed this team. I really have. This has been a
No,
really
they've been
fun.
A lot more fun this year to watch. Just they've been a lot more fun to watch. They've been a lot more fun to cover. Just the vibe around the team overall has been a lot more fun. And it's been I would say heartening. If you're a fan of the Lakers, I would think to see them playing such good defense at such a young age. That's my biggest takeaway from this year is that for all these guys' faults and flaws offensively, this is a team of a lot of young players that played really good defense. And yes, Brooke Lopez, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, those guys deserve credit for that as well, but it's not all of them. And the fact that Lonzo Ball is a good defender already, Brandon Ingram has been a good defender already, Kyle Kuzma, not consistently good, but he's had his moments. Like, Josh Hart is already, I would say, an average defender or maybe better. And so when you have all of that stuff from your young core, I'd say that's like pretty promising for the future.
Yeah, and even without getting into specifics as to why I like this team, I like this team because they're fun, they play hard. Like you said, the defensive strides that they've made.
And they roast each other on social media. Who doesn't love that?
Right, and I want to send a team that I like out on a high note.
Right? Yeah.
You need Ingram and you need Hart back to be able to do that.
To me, that's not a compelling reason to bring them back if they're not ready, obviously, and I don't think that you're arguing that, but if they're ready, it definitely would be a good thing for the Lakers.
Yeah, and look, I think if there's one thing that we can say as a fact, right, not analysis, not opinion, this is an objective fact, is that we know the Lakers aren't going to rush these guys back.
Do we? I mean, we don't have any way to know that. I would assume.
Are you kidding me?
I would assume.
Are you kidding me? They extended Lonzo's return. They extended Ingram's return. Like you're telling me you would argue in any scenario whatsoever that
I'm not saying I would argue it. I'm just saying we don't know.
Oh my God, we're gonna go to break.
To say that we know is just a lie.
I'm going to fight Harrison through my computer.
Fake news.
I'm gonna fight him through my computer, and I'll be back. We'll see if Harrison.
I'm sorry, I have journalistic ethics, Anthony.
We're back. Harrison is not, though. So we'll see how long we can go before he wakes up. He had an idea. He had this weird idea, again, from that dude in Salt Lake City or Utah who wrote
Salty Lake City.
Yeah. Oh, you're back.
Yes.
Good morning. How are you
holding up? You're a mean right hook, Anthony.
actually, it's more of a jab. I'm left-handed, so my hook comes from the left.
But. I don't. I was going to pretend to give you credit for fighting me, but now you've angered me and this bit is over. But we're going to talk about the Lakers. You know, like that Salt Lake City columnist was brave enough to write a farewell letter to Gordon Hayward just to let him know months, almost a year after he had left Salt Lake City, like, hey, dude, guess what? We're fine without you. Oh, you weren't wondering? Well, just so you know, we are fine without you. And the Jazz, hashtag press on. And so Anthony and I decided that we would go through and talk about which Lakers we just definitely don't miss in any way. Lakers are definitely better off without. We're not still hurt or annoyed that they're not on the team. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'll start us off if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, D'Angelo Russell. Hey, guess what, D'Lo? You thought you could record your teammates? Well, now you're in Brooklyn, and the Lakers definitely don't miss you while they're looking for guard depth and need a secondary ball handler and your set of skills to play next to Lonzo. And, you know, like, you're over there averaging, checks, box score, basketball reference, 16 points a game on, you know, 41% shooting. That's not very efficient. You know what the Lakers have? Lonzo, let's not get into his shooting numbers. And yeah, they definitely do not miss you or a player of your skill set. Definitely didn't need you. Although Kyle Kuzma actually, in all seriousness, does kind of lessen the blow, I would say.
It's not Kuzma. You're doing that? It's Hart and it's Thomas Bryant. We talked about this for like the whole first half of the year.
I know.
This is satire.
I just know it would trigger you.
Good Lord. The whole first half of the year we spent talking about that.
Oh man.
Anywho, the guy that I don't miss, Kobe. I don't miss Kobe. He can enjoy.
Wait, no, but I thought these were supposed to be kidding.
he can go win his Oscars and he can grow his beard and his dad bod and he can. I think another kid is on the way. Another Bryant is on the way. He can do all of those things.
Other than Thomas?
he can go do those things, and I don't miss him or his mama mentality or his ability to finish late in games. The Lakers definitely don't miss that with this young team. They definitely couldn't use a mentor to call them soft as Charmin at every possible turn. They definitely don't miss somebody to catch to generate a headline anytime LeVar Ball. Frankly, they definitely couldn't use Kobe's, we'll say, ability to his killer instinct to, if need be, kill LeVar Ball.
I was gonna say, how long do you think LeVar Ball would have gone before he just disappeared if Kobe was still on the team when Lonzo was drafted?
I can tell you this. I think the Lithuania thing, like if that happened under Kobe's watch, I don't know if he makes it all the way out to Lithuania. I think maybe that plane goes down in the Atlantic somewhere.
Wow, okay. So what we've learned from this facetious segment is that, you know, I jokingly was saying that the Lakers don't miss D'Angelo Russell. They clearly could use a player like that. Anthony either actually doesn't miss Kobe or wants old 40-year-old Kobe on the current Lakers teaching the Lakers how to win with Mamba mentality. So I don't really know what the – like either you were joking or you're crazy.
Yes. Yeah. Let's, who's your next guy?
Oh, I don't have a next one.
Oh, my next guy is Nick Young. I and this is not being facetious. I don't miss Nick Young at all.
I actually do kind of miss Nick Young. At the very least, Nick Young made covering Lakers games more interesting.
I miss Nick Young because I miss Mark Medina. Like I miss having him to be able to talk to.
Yes, and obviously they were a package deal.
It seemed like it early on. All right, let's go ahead and end this before I get in actual trouble here with anybody that we know. This was a wandering and goofy episode. And this is the kind of thing that happens on off days on the, 173rd night of the NBA season, whatever it is. We're creeping towards 400 episodes. And what I want from you guys in our iTunes reviews, please give us ideas on ways to celebrate that 400th episode. I think this one is going to be like 394, 395. So please,
the crazier the better. We might actually do some of these.
Yeah. No, give us.
Especially if they involve Anthony shaving his head.
Or
not me.
Anthony playing Harrison one-on-one. Like that.
Yeah. I mean, do you actually want to hurt me? I have like a disability.
Well, you know, I need a vine of you playing basketball, frankly.
So, well, you're not going to get it because I've been told by doctors never again.
But yeah, go to iTunes.
Went in there, they were just like with a basketball. They just slapped it out of my hands. No, don't.
Was it Kobe? Is Kobe your doctor?
Yes.
Like, I could see him. Like, no.
He won an Oscar and then he got his doctorate.
it's been an eventful post career.
No, wait, Shaq has a doctorate. It's Shaq.
That would hurt.
Get that out of here.
Yeah, if he.
I'm Shaq. I'm Dr. Shaq.
Yeah, or like it would be more accurately be like, don't ever play basketball again.
I'm Dr. Shaq.
I guess Shaq sounds like Chewbacca now. Okay, we need to leave. We need to exit.
All right. The show. But yeah, go to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Give us ideas on how to celebrate our 400th episode. And I promise we will use at least one of them. And you better leave good ones, because if they're really, really crazy, like Harrison shaving the 3 hairs that he has left on the top of his head, we might go there. You know,
your hairline is as bad as mine.
It's
I
not
don't know.
True. That is not true. That's not, that is.
Let
just...
us know in the iTunes reviews.
Have a good one, everybody.